News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum, and joining me this week, Senator Regina Doherty, a Fine Gael senator and also a candidate in the European elections. Pádraig Tobin, a leader of Aonthu TD for Meath West, and they're holding their Ard Eisch this weekend. And Harry McGee, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Good morning, one and all. I mentioned earlier on, Regina, that we contacted a lot of councillors and TDs for the Wicklow constituency in the light of what happened at Newtown and Kennedy last night, and pretty much all of them reluctant to comment.
Do you know, I think there is a chilling effect on this kind of activity, and there's a fine line between people, public representatives, trying to represent the concerns that people would raise with them, that then morph into what we see last night. And the lines between one and the other are very, very blurred at the moment. And so whilst everybody in the country has an absolute right to protest peacefully and be objectionable to things that, you know, might be suggested to come out of Leinster House, you know, what we saw last night is not acceptable in any way, shape or form. And so I can kind of understand why people would be reluctant, particularly if it's in your local area, because temperatures, I'd say, are probably very inflamed. People who live there that have concerns are very disappointed by what happened last night. They know that maybe some of the people that were involved might not necessarily be, you know, local residents.
But so many of them are.
Oh yeah, lots of them probably are, yeah. So, but like I go back again, honestly, people are absolutely entitled to be objecting to things in a peaceful way. But what happened last night is not normal behaviour, and it can't be tolerated. So,
Pather?
This is a very complex situation. Absolutely peaceful protest is a foundation of a democracy, and should be no tolerance to anybody being violent against a Gardaí, anybody burning material which could get out of hand, which can lead to death and destruction in those situations. And it is very, I think we're at a tipping point, I think, in this country, a very serious tipping point at the moment. If you look at social media currently as well, there's a lot of darkness on social media. There's a lot of what I would call ethno-nationalism creeping into discourse on social media at the moment. In other words, that, you know, you're not Irish unless you are, you know, ethnically Irish, etc. And I do think that we need to actually get a grip of what's causing this. We need a proper discussion around these issues. And the government needs to get control of the issue of migration as well. And I do think that the government has made a hames in terms of the migration situation in this country. And that is leading to a lot of anger. That anger isn't properly organised. It's not focused. It's not strategic. It's just lashing out in a lot of different directions at the moment. And I do think that's a dangerous place that we're in.
We'll come back
to
what they might have done differently in a moment, because they're already changing the processing of asylum seekers and so on. And we heard the remarks of the Taoiseach given while he was in the Middle East about the Rwanda situation in Britain. We'll come back to that. Mm. But Harry, what is your take on what happened last night?
Well, it was a disgrace. And I agree with both Regina and Pather that there is always a place for protest, public protest, but it must be peaceful, and the intent behind it, you know, must be for the greater common weal. And I've seen a few of these protests, and the impetus behind them has nothing to do with the democratic process. These people are here to try to disrupt and to destroy and to make noise and to push a particular agenda in any way that they come. They portray the Gardaí as the enemy. They portray themselves as patriots. They describe the government as the regime. And even their use of language, I think Pádraig referred to it there, has become increasingly toxic on social media. So those who are behind their motives, I'd question their motives. I'd question their politics. And I think there is a very deep anti-democratic strain that they are trying to foment, with some success, I think, on social media. But I think it's quite a dangerous trend that we're seeing.
I mean, there will
democracy.
Be people in Newtown and Kennedy who will be saying today, I am thoroughly ashamed of what happened last night, who may, in fact, have been on the fringes of the gathering at Trotter House and then in dismay absented themselves, even though they probably have a view about whether or not Trotter House should be used.
Yeah, but most of these guys are flying pickets. Those who are kind of fomenting the violence are not locals. There are people who have come in from Dublin and from elsewhere, and you can see them at
but they have used the cannon fodder, if you like, of some locals to do the dirty business.
Yeah, they're coming out with tropes. You know, we've heard them all about, you know, young unaccompanied males, men of military age, this, that and the other, you know. And they are quite clever in the way that they use language, because they can rile the fears of the local community in relation to what is, they create a straw man of an impending threat to people's safety.
Let's be realistic,
people
though,
to that.
In some small towns, they have been disproportionately occupied, I suppose,
absolutely,
by the arrival of asylum seekers and Ukrainians, many of the Ukrainians getting jobs because they're entitled to work and so on and so forth. And there is a question of whether or not...
It's a question of proportionality.
Of proportionality. That's
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
I think, to be fair...
Can I come in there? Obviously, the violence and these actions are the responsibility of those people who are involved in it. But those groups are able to harvest a certain level of discontent that is within society. And I do think if the government was to get its house in order in terms of these process, that we could ameliorate that discontent significantly. We do know from polling, for example, that about 70% of the population are uncomfortable with the government's policies currently with regards to migration. Like, even just during the week, we heard that only 100 people out of 7,500 people who had a deportation order were actually physically deported. And people, you know, seeing 5,000 people coming through Dublin Airport without passports last year, for example, you know, this is creating a frustration within society.
But Helen McIntyre herself said more than 80% of the people fetching up for asylum
coming through
here
the north,
have come through the north. And the Thornish are then going on about Rwanda, the scare, you know, I don't want to go to Rwanda, so I'll go to the EU via Ireland instead.
But Pat, I put a question to the Minister for Justice 2 years ago and last year, asking, first of all, where these people are applying for asylum. It's in the International Protection Office in the main at the moment. And I asked from where they were coming from, and she said she didn't know, because at that point, they weren't even asking the question of the people who were applying, how they got into the country. And so it's that mismanagement that's led to this discontent, and unfortunately that discontent has been harvested now by a small fringe.
Our chief reporter, Barry White, who's with the Thornish in the Middle East, he some months ago went down and interviewed people outside the centre and found out, they were quite open about it, came in through Northern Ireland. And nobody, it appears, was listening.
Nobody's even asking the question within the department. And I think, you know, we have to get to a situation. There is, and I've had this conversation with you before, we have now an Irish Sea border for goods right now in between this island and in Britain. We're going to have to get to a situation where there's also an Irish Sea border for people too, that we ask
but
people
questions.
But the
DUP won't wear that we should not be interrogated about
they lost
our journey going between two parts of our own country.
They lost the battle on goods.
And nor should they, sorry. Can I say two things? First of all, there are people with real concerns, and we've had difficulty expressing the changes that we're trying to make in the immigration process long before we even get to the new immigration pact with people. And we have to take responsibility for that. The system has been overwhelmed in the last number of years, arising with the concerns that people are, that you know, are expressing. But there's not a fine line between people expressing their concerns and the outrageous behaviour that we're seeing in some parts of the world. Nobody has a right to burn property, to deface property, to cause such fear, to attack the Gardaí
Regina, in fairness, over the last couple of years, we've been saying people are arriving here, they get on a plane with papers, they get off a plane without papers.
There's no, honest to goodness, and I'm not trying to defend anything, there's absolutely no doubt that over the last number of years our system has been overwhelmed. It really has.
And we haven't managed properly, Regina.
So if you just let me speak for a second, I might be able to explain, right? We haven't managed the communications incredibly well, and we are trying to make changes now to react to the overwhelming. We have 400 people working in the IPO staff at the moment. It's 95% more than we would have had 2 years ago. And it's recognising that we've had this huge influx of people.
Are you a bit slow to the party, though, in fairness?
I don't mind taking the criticism, but what we do have to recognise is that we have made significant changes in the last number of months to address the issues. We've fast-tracked processes. You know, we know and understand why people are upset when we use hotels, because we should have never been in that position.
15% of the people who received deportation orders from this state in the last 5 years were actually, their deportation was actioned. And when I asked the Minister for Justice, where are they? The Minister for Justice said, we don't know where they are.
But many of them will have gone to the UK.
Some of them may have gone, but the fact that we don't know is a lack of management.
So, overall, we're talking about a very small cohort of people overall. When we look at all the people who have who have migrated to Ireland over the past 20 years. I think 15% of our population now weren't born in this country. Mm. And then their kids are growing up in this country. So we've gone from a monoethnic society to a multi-ethnic society in the course of a generation. The difficulty is that the rub is with this very small group of people who come in seeking international protection. And a sense, and there is some reason that it is correct in relation to some of them, that some are gaming the system, that they're not really seeking asylum, they're economic migrants coming into the country. The system has been very, very slow in responding to them. For example, the government is now talking about accelerated processes in which to deal with people who come from safe countries of origin, or the highest number that are coming in at the moment. You know, 2,000 Nigerian people have come in since the start of this year, a third of the 6,000 who have come in. But they will be dealt with in 3 months, but that's only the very start of the process. Mm. Then they have a right to appeal, and then there's a second appeal. And then after that has been exhausted, they can apply to the minister for leave to remain. Mm. So by the time a person has finished going through the system, you're sometimes talking about 10 years.
A child has grown a beard.
Having said that,
absolutely, but their children have gone through education here. Yeah. And at that stage, it's unfair to ask somebody who has been born in Ireland and grown up in Ireland to leave the country. So the system has always been unwieldy, and it needs to be reformed root and branch to make it more efficient, to allow people to get decisions quickly as to whether they should leave or remain.
I totally agree with you, and that the new immigration pact is going to attempt to do that. But just to give you an example of some of the changes that we've made, you look at one of the countries where we felt that an awful lot of the young men that were coming were looking for work and a better life as opposed to international protection asylum. We fast-tracked their processes, and the numbers that arrive from that country have dropped by 80%. They don't want to come to Ireland and have a refusal, because then it stops them going anywhere else in Europe. I accept we should have made the changes earlier, right? But when we do make the changes, they're having the impact. You'll see again now, we're fast-tracking Nigerian applicants, and I think that'll have the same kind of impact. So we need to be adaptable.
The problem with the new migration pact that the government's talking about, they say this is going to fast-track, you know, the application process. But it's the government resources that's actually going to fast-track the immigration process, you know, and if they can't do it currently, why would they be able to do it in the future? And the big problem I have with the Migration Pact is it outsources decision-making on these important issues into the future.
No,
so a key element of that is the solidarity module, where, you know, the European Union will decide numbers in terms of that countries will take, or our financial contribution in lieu of that.
If we have the decision-making on that,
we can at least control that element. But if we outsource that to the European Union, it's out of our control. And I asked Simon Harris in the Dáil, how much will it cost? And he said he doesn't know.
There's no outsourcing, Pat, because we were at the negotiating table when we negotiated the immigration pact. And if there's ever any changes to be made...
But the decision won't be made by the Irish government.
Sorry, the European Council will make it. And we have a Taoiseach at the European Council who has a veto. So this nonsense that we're giving up our sovereignty, or that somebody else is making the decisions for us. We are the European Union. We sit on the councils, we make the decisions, we'll always have the veto.
Harry, just to change the emphasis here, there are many people who want to come to the EU to work. They see the living here is better compared to what they leave behind, wherever that may be. I mean, our visa process, we have a shortage of all sorts of people in all sorts of areas. Can we not do something about that? So you're from Georgia or Albania, wherever you're from. I want to work. I want to work in Ireland. I don't have a criminal record. This is the visa process. It's simple. Why don't we do that?
Hurtu am cruel and thornia, as they say in Irish. You put the nail on top of the head, Pat. I think we should look at the notion of having more generous visa systems for people who come from developing countries, such as Nigeria and elsewhere, as a way of a kind of a Morrissey or Donnelly visa programme for those who come from developing countries. And that will have a cooling effect on asylum applications. Because at the moment, the system, I mean, if you look at the amount that's been paid every year in accommodating those who've come in from Ukraine and IP, both between state and private, we're paying €2 billion. We paid €2 billion last year in providing. It's a huge amount of money. And even though we're economically stable at the moment, if there were a downturn, that would have consequences. When we look at the legal costs of the process for a relatively small amount of people, you're talking about billions of euros over the past 10 years as well. Yeah, so it's a very inefficient system. I think if they start looking at alternatives,
I don't like to deprive people the right to go to the courts. But really, someone coming from a distant country who doesn't have any constitutional status here, going all the way to our Supreme Court, it does seem a bit cumbersome, a bit unnecessary, would you say? Would you agree, Regina?
On the whole, it probably looks that way, but that's why we have the international rule of law. That's why we have due process. And it's not just in this particular legal aspect, it's in all legal aspects. And if we start interfering with people's constitutional rights to appeal, I think we're in really dangerous territory.
But first of all, the Irish court system is incredibly cumbersome as well. Even in the likes of France, if you were to murder somebody, you would be most likely in front of a court at least within a year in the French system. But in this country, because the system is grinding to a halt, it could take years before you're actually
up. I'm just wondering,
when
you arrive with no papers in Australia, you're turned around. If you arrive with no papers in New York at JFK Airport, you're turned around.
Yeah.
What's the issue here?
I think there's two issues. I think that the government had an ideological issue at the start of this, that they did not want to be seen to be doing that initially. And I also think there's been a level of incompetency in relation to this as well in the Department of Justice. We know, for example, that there are at least 1,000 people who are waiting 3 years for their first application process to be decided.
Okay. I'll read you two comments. I live in a village very close to Newtown Mount Kennedy, and by all accounts, I think a lot of the people in my village support the people in Newtown Mount Kennedy who protested, and I think the government needs to wake up that it's the vast majority that support these protests. While nobody wants to see what happened last night, the government is not listening to, as they call it, a minority. That's from Joe. Historically, it was our marginalised groups that were demonised. Now, in the present time, migrants are their target. There's no excuse for these individuals whose mindset is focused on racially terrorising and burning down buildings identified for asylum accommodation. These individuals are stoking hate and racism. You can't allow a group to have the power over the majority who are in the main welcoming. There are two different views there. I should go to you, Pather, just to ask you briefly, the top three items on your agenda for your Ardèche.
Well, first of all, there'll be 400 buoyant delegates who will be gathering in Maynooth tomorrow.
Now, in fairness, people think that you're the only member of AIM.
our membership has increased by 400 since our successful referendum campaign alone. First of all, we want to induce accountability into the political system. We would like a system where senior civil servants in this country are held to account in terms of the likes of the National Children's Hospital, the 300 million that's gone into the metro system without even a shovel being put onto the ground. The second issue that we're going to be discussing is bursting the political bubble, because we do believe that AIM2 are the only political party that's actually listening to the people on a range of different issues at the moment. There is an NGO government, some media bubble within the political establishment in this country. We need to get back to a system where the political establishment are listening to the people.
And finally, if I was to ask you, Regina, for the main plank in your European campaign, what would that be?
So it's probably about representing Dublin businesses and workers. The EU is a wonderful institution, but it's still mired in bureaucracy, and it's still very difficult, even though we have a single market, to do business across Europe. And I'd love to see less regulation and a little bit more innovation. And workers' rights is something, as a minister, I was very proud to introduce legislation, and I'd like to see more.
I feel I should ask you, why should I buy the Irish Times?
Absolutely. Well, every day.
Every day. Every day.
All right. My thanks to Senator Regina Doherty, to Pather Thobeen, the leader of AIM2, and to Harry McGee, political correspondent of the Irish Times. And that's all we have time for.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.